Our scripture lesson for today is taken from the 103rd Psalm, the first five verses, and we read them as follows in Jesus' name. Let us rise. And please join with me in reading them. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Some of you may have heard me tell the story of a very wealthy woman who was talking to a friend of mine one day, years ago, at a store. And she, this middle-aged wealthy woman, started to complain about how she couldn't hang on any longer to kitchen help, people that she would hire to prepare her food and so on. And she said, it has gotten so bad lately that one day I even had to go and push a shopping cart through the grocery store. Now, it was bad enough that she thought like that, but the fact that she thought my friend would sympathize with that was also very interesting. Having a lot of wealth can sometimes warp how we view things and how we view ourselves. And one of the ugliest and maybe spiritually most potentially dangerous human flaws is that of ingratitude. We all know how difficult it is to watch a little spoiled child that is so ungrateful and expresses no thanks. We think about how we, maybe as parents or your parents to you, had to just work on you so hard to make sure that you would be grateful for the things that people would give you. Martin Luther said this, "Even the heathen everywhere, despite their ignorance of God and his grace, condemn to the utmost the evil of ingratitude." Even people who don't know God realize this. And one of the challenges to having a lot of blessings is that it fogs our view of things, and it sometimes causes us to now elevate ourselves to a new level or a new standard of what we expect. Not just things that we want anymore, but things that are really blessings and gifts to us from God. We can start to assume we should just be able to have those. I remember years ago, I happened to give a ride to a young man that was a number of miles from home, and he was very, very poor, had no car. And at the time, I was thinking about getting a different car. I had a little beat-up Honda. And as he jumped in the car with me, my car was a couple years old, and I turned the radio on, and I could just see in his face how impressed he was with my Honda. Wow. Just started looking around at the interior. The way I would in the back of a big limousine was the way he looked at my dumpy little car. One of the church fathers says this about ingratitude and not appreciating our blessings. He says, if unchecked, it could possibly extinguish faith in a person's heart. The psalmist David invites us to view all of the gifts that we have from God ultimately through the work of Christ. If you think of this psalm, he takes us to Calvary and he takes us to the empty tomb, where the Son of God willingly gave up everything so that you and I could possess all things eternally. Listen to his words again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name, who forgives all your iniquities. He starts with the primary number one concern that every person in this room, certainly this preacher, needs from God. The number one concern in our life is to have our sins washed away and forgiven. Bless the Lord that he has done this through the work of his Son, who has so graciously, he could easily not have done this, but so graciously out of his tender mercy has chosen to just forgive us our sins due to the payment of his Son on the cross for us. And that's our number one blessing from God. When the paralytic was brought through the roof into the room in front of Jesus, our Lord spoke to this issue first when he said to the man, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." More important than his paralysis. Without this primary blessing, we have no hope before God at all. He then goes on, "Who redeems your life from destruction." He takes you to the empty grave of your own Savior, who promises that those who trust and cling to him by faith will have this same glorious resurrection in their future. Just think what God has prepared for us through the work of his Son, and who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. So God would have you look at your life through the window of what Christ has done for you, and through the window then of the greatest blessings that you have, that have been earned for you through Christ's death and resurrection. And rather than allowing ourselves to focus with envy on people in this life that maybe have more than we do here and there, God would have us instead looking at our lives through the greatest blessings that there could ever be. God would have us instead stay focused maybe on those who have less than us, so that we remain grateful for the gifts we have been given. May our forgiving and gracious God, who showers down his gifts on us every day, may he give us the gift of faith to look at our lives and the things that we have through the window of his grace and the window of everlasting life that he has waiting for us. And not only will looking at life this way keep us spiritually prepared for the day that our Lord returns, but it will also make all the blessings of this life taste even sweeter. Amen.